Turn with me to chapter 15 of Matthew, please. Matthew 15, let's read verse 1 and 2. Then came to Jesus, our Lord Jesus Christ, scribes and Pharisees, these strict, ceremonialist, legalist, moralist intellectuals, guardians of the temple, synagogues, which were of Jerusalem, saying, Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? They wash not their hands when they eat bread. These men were such strict Sabbatarians, moralist, legalist, religionist, went through so many washings and ceremonies, their lives was in what they did outwardly, and before they touched food or put it in their mouths, they went through a ceremony of washing their hands so as not to be defiled by this particular food. And they asked the Lord, said, your disciples eat bread without going through the traditional ceremonies, without doing what the fathers said that we ought to do. And our Lord answered them in verse 3. Now note what they said. Your disciples transgressed the tradition of the elders. They transgressed the ways of the religionist. And our Lord answered them, verse 3, and he said, why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? My disciples are guilty of violating your tradition, but you're guilty of violating the Word of God. These disciples are violating your traditions, your religious ceremonies, and your customs. But you men, he said, you religious leaders are violating and transgressing the very commandment of God by your traditions. And he said, I'll give you an example. Verse 4. For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, he that curseth father and mother, let him die the death. And no question about that. A man to honor and respect his parents and care for them in old age or in sickness or in poverty, that's commendable to God. That's what God commanded. And Paul repeated that in 1 Timothy. If you'll turn there in your Bibles, I want you to see this. 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 5. In 1 Timothy 5, verse 4, Paul's talking about the church taking care of widows who are in need. Verse 3 says, honor widows, respect them, care for them, provide for them, that are widows indeed. But if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety, kindness at home, and to care for their parents. This is good and acceptable before God. And verse 8 says, but if any provide not for his own, especially for his own household, those of his own house, kindred, well, he's denied the faith. He's worse than an infidel. Now get the picture here. These were proud religious men. These were influential, powerful, and wealthy to some extent men in religion. And they complained that the disciples were violating their tradition, not doing things according to the way that the elders prescribed them to be done. And Christ said, you fellows are practicing a cover-up operation while my disciples do violate your traditions and your customs. You, by your traditions and customs, are violating the very word of God. For example, he said, my father said, honor your father and mother, care for them, take care of them in their old age, in their poverty, in their need, in their want. Now look at verse 5 and 6. But you say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it's a gift, it's korban, by whatever thou mightest be profited by me, whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me. In other words, here's what he's saying. These men had their livings, they had their wealth, they had their possessions. But what they said, we're in God's service. And what I have, my wealth and my possessions and my material possessions, have been dedicated to God, to be used only for God, to be used only in the service of God. It's korban, it's a gift, it's been given to God, it's been dedicated to God. Therefore, I can't use it to help you. This was the way they sneaked around that commandment, you know. What I have has been dedicated to God. It's korban. It is dedicated to the service of God, and therefore I can't help you. And he said, what you've done is you made void the word of God by your tradition. You've let a man have a loophole around his obligation. That's the way we do an income tax. We give men a loophole. We get them around their obligation to their government, to society, and to other people by giving them loopholes. And this is what these fellows found. They found a way to get around doing what God commanded them to do. We found a way around. Verse 6, and you honor not your father and mother, he shall be free. He's made free by our tradition. Oh, no. You've made the commandment of God of non-effect by your tradition. You found a way to get around your service and obligation to your parents by saying that what you have belongs to God. Belongs to God. Verse 7, you hypocrites, you hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, these people's religion is in word and profession. You know, a fellow said one time, how amazed we'll be when we find that men not only may be very strong and zealous in religion and not know God, but that religious tradition may be so strong in them and upon them, even to making the word of God of no effect. And he says here in verse 8, Isaiah said, you draw nigh to me with your mouths. Not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, is going to enter the kingdom of God. You honor me with your lips, but your hearts are far from me. And in vain you worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Your worship is vain. It's unacceptable. We love in word, not in deed, and it's unacceptable to God. And your doctrine, their doctrine, was nothing more than the rules and standards of men set up to satisfy men. And he had nothing more to say to them. Nothing more. Verse 10, and he called the multitude. Now this is very significant. Here are these men of renown and human respect. In fact, the disciples said one time, well, if the Pharisees are not saved, who can be saved? These men were somebody, Bob. Somebody. And they came to the Lord in defense of their tradition, their custom, the way they worshiped God, the way they did things, the way they taught, their customs and traditions. And they were upset. They were genuinely upset with his disciples because they weren't doing the things the way they did them. And if you don't think that we're bound today by traditions and customs of religion, you go somewhere and conduct a service and not give that altar call at the end of the service and see. They come rushing down the aisle. You didn't give an invitation. You didn't give anybody the opportunity to be saved. If you don't think we're bound by traditions and customs, you try to conduct a funeral a little different from the way everybody else conducts them. That's right. If you don't think we're bound by traditions and customs, you try to conduct a service without a lot of whoopee and raising of the hands and these preachers say, well, the service was dead. The Holy Ghost wasn't there because nobody was shouting. Shouting is no evidence of the Holy Ghost presence. But these are traditions and customs. I could go on the rest of the service talking about religious traditions and customs that have bound us, that have put us in a bondage today. And me and you try to skip a Sunday morning service sometime. Just say we're going to meet Sunday night, not meet Sunday morning. What? You got to meet on Sunday morning. Why? Well, that's what we've always done. Tradition. Bound by tradition. And the disciples, they just reached and got something to eat, and these Pharisees said, hey, you can't do that. Why can't I do it? You're supposed to wash before you eat. Where does it say that in God's Word? But that's our tradition. You can't violate our tradition. You can't do it differently. You can't do it. And Christ said, what you've done, I'll tell you what you fellows have done. By your tradition, you found ways to go around this book. You found ways to get around God's Word. And I just give you an example, he said. Some of you neglecting your old parents. You're not giving them what they need, taking care of them, and you've got plenty. And you're defending your position with the fact that it's dedicated to God. It's Korban, and that's a tradition of your elders. And I tell you what you fellas are, he said, you're a bunch of word worshipers. You're men who are rendering to God lip service. And your hearts are not in God, of God, or with God. And then he just turned away from them. They were standing there talking to him, questioning him, and he just turned away from them and said to the crowd of people. The crowd of people were listening. The people weren't making any contribution. These guys spoke for them, you know. They weren't making any contribution. The average person, you go to them, ask them what they believe. They say, you'll have to ask my preacher. Spurgeon asked a fellow one time, said, what do you believe? He said, I believe the same thing that my preacher believes. He said, what do your preacher believe? He said, he believes what I believe. Well, he said, what do both of you believe? He said, same thing. That's a true story, the same thing. Tradition. And so he just turned away from them. And he turned to the multitude and he said, listen, verse 11. Don't you know, it's not that which goeth into the mouth that defileth a man? It's not going to defile you to shake hands with a prostitute or to ask her to come to church. You walk down the street to go cross over the other side to keep from rubbing shoulders with her. That's not going to defile you. It's not going to defile you to go in a place and eat dinner where they serve alcoholic beverages. That's not going to defile you. You don't catch anything. He said, it's not what you eat and drink that defiles your soul. It's not what a man puts in his mouth that defiles him. What defiles us is what comes. The fact that I wouldn't speak to her, that's what defiled me. She touching her, shaking hands with her, welcoming her into my home, having her eat lunch with us, that wouldn't defile me or anybody in my home. But the very fact I had ignored her and looked down with disdain upon her and considered myself better than her, that defiled me. That's what whipped me. What came out of me. Everybody's, you go drink a bottle of beer, you're going to hell. I don't understand this kind of religion. What you put in your body is not going to touch your soul. It won't touch your heart. It'll go into the body. It'll be digested, whatever's there. It may defile your body now. Intemperance in anything will kill you. But even intemperance is not going to touch your soul. It's going out the draft, down the sewer, and that's it. I wish we could get rid of sin by taking an enema, don't you? It can't be done. And that's what my Lord said. These guys don't understand it. And these silly preachers around here don't understand it either. They spend months and months and thousands of dollars trying to keep liquor out of the town. I wish they'd spend months and months and money to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. That'd solve our problem. It's not that which he said he gave up on the preachers. He just turned his back on them, just gave up on them. He can't help those birds. And now one reason you can't help them is their living's involved. Their salary's involved. That's one reason you can't help them. Bound by tradition, locked in, a false refuge, making compassing sea and land to make one proselyte for their religion, and their proselytes become twofold more the child of hell than they are. Their religion consists in do's and don'ts and rules and regulations and staying out of this place and going to that place and not having anything to do with this person or that person and so forth. And Christ turned to the crowd and he said, it's not what a man puts in his mouth that defiles him and corrupts him. It's what comes out of his heart and his soul. It's what he is by birth and nature and principle and attitude and spirit. That's his damnation. That's his rot. I know some folks right now in church. I know some sisters and brothers-in-law that aren't speaking. Not in this church. The church where I'm, they're just not speaking. You know why they're not speaking? Got upset over something in their mama's will. And one of them didn't handle it properly, and the other one got mad about it, and they're not speaking. It'd be better if they got drunk. I'd have more respect for them. I'll be honest with you. But this thing, I mean, talking about years. Won't shake hands. I'm not talking about 1 week or 1 day. I'm talking about years. Won't speak. Won't shake hands. Sit on opposite sides of the church. That's hell. That's what that is. Hell in the heart. An unforgiving spirit and an absence of grace. And that's what my Lord said. Then his disciples came and said to him, don't you know that the religious leaders were offended when you said that? And you talk about offending this religious gang around here. If I went out and public, they got to preach what I'm preaching to you this morning, they'd be offended. There you go, telling people go do what they want to do. I'm telling people to do what their hearts want to do, yeah. What do you want to do? You want to serve God and love Christ and walk with Christ? I do. People are regulated by a relationship with Christ, not by rules and regulations. If I'm kept out of a place because of fear or rules, and that's where I want to be in here, I might as well be there. But what keeps me out of a place and from doing a certain thing is not your rules or laws or regulations. It's because I love Christ. And I'd rather be with Him and in fellowship with Him than in fellowship with the world. Does that make sense? Well, they were offended when they heard what you said. And he said in verse 13, he answered, well, I'll tell you this, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. God's trees are the planting of God's choice. By His grace in Christ, they're like trees planted by the rivers of living water, and they shall never die. That's election right there. That's God's divine covenant, grace, and choice. He said, my heavenly Father has trees in His kingdom, in the forest of His love, and He chose them and planted them Himself. And everyone that's a tare that was planted by the enemy shall be rooted up and destroyed. And then he said in verse 14, now watch this. Leave them alone. Leave them alone. Ignore their rebukes and their reproaches. Don't listen to them. Listen to God. Leave them alone. Have nothing to do with them. Have nothing to say to them. Ignore them. Because they're blind leaders of blind people, and if the blind lead the blind, they both will fall into the ditch. And then Peter said to him, Lord, declare unto us this parable. What were you talking about when you said it's not that which goeth into the mouth that defileth a man, but that which comes out of his heart? Declare unto us the meaning of this parable. And Jesus looked at them and he said, now here's, listen to this. Are you without understanding of this? You whom I've chosen, whom I've called, are you without understanding? Are you still apprehensive about this thing? Is it still... Does this religious tradition and custom in this religious world and these religious television programs with their fears and threats and rewards and crowns and judgments and all of this sort of thing, does this still make you uneasy? Are you without understanding? Is Christ not enough? Is His Word not enough? Are you uncertain about your foundation? Are you uncertain about your hope? Huh? Are you without understanding? Verse 17. Do not ye yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the belly? Whether it be a wafer or a cracker or wine or what it is, whether it be this, that, or the other, it goes into the belly. Anything that's touched outwardly or taken outwardly or done outwardly goes into the belly and is cast out in the draft. Those things which come out of the mouth in word. Those things which come out of the mouth, they come from the heart. They're produced in the heart. They're produced by an attitude and a nature. That's what defiles us. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts of God and evil thoughts of men. Out of the heart proceeds murders, hatred, bigotry, racism, adulteries, lust, fornications, covetousness, that's thefts. I want what I don't have. I want what you have. I want what God hadn't given me. False witness, lies, gossip, blasphemy. These are the things that defile a man. But to eat with unwashing hands defileth not a man. And then the next verse says, then Jesus left them. Just left them. And departed unto the coast of Tyre and Sidon. These are Gentile countries. He didn't go down into these countries, but he went to the coast. Went to the border. I want you to see something here. He went to the border. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast. This was a Gentile woman. Evidently, she had heard of Christ. Now, this is an illustration or an example of what he's just been talking about, the freeness of God's mercy to the heart. This is an example of what he's been talking about. Then, this woman, she was a Gentile, she was out of Tyre, Sidon, she'd heard of Christ, she'd heard of His power, heard of His greatness, her daughter was very ill, and she came to the house. Now, Mark said he went into a house. He says he came to the coast of Tyre and Sidon, and Mark says he went into a house for seclusion, for rest, to get away from all these people, all these religious folks. He went into this house. And this woman of Canaan came out of the same coast, and she came to Christ. Evidently, she came right into the house. Now, watch what she said. Have mercy upon me, O Lord. The first thing this woman did was recognize His authority, His lordship. This is like the leper in Matthew 8. Lord, if You will, You can make me whole. The thief on the cross. Lord, You're coming into the kingdom. Lord, she says, Thou Son of David. You know, a lot of times when preachers preach on these subjects, they give the impression that these people whom He healed were just totally ignorant people out of the woods. Listen to Rahab the harlot. Down in Jericho, the spies came in and she said, we know how the Lord dried up the Red Sea. That was 40 years ago. 40 years ago. She said, we know how that You destroyed the Amorites and the Hittites as 30 years ago. This was no dumb woman. She was in a dumb profession, but she wasn't a dumb woman. She knew about these things. And this woman here from Canaan, she called him Lord, and she called him what? Son of David. You know what Son of David is? That's the Christ. That's the Messiah. He asked the Pharisees, he said, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? They said, he's the Son of David. Son of David. She knew who Jesus Christ was. She called him Lord. She called him Son of David. And she said, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. She called upon him for mercy. And I'll tell you this. She came to him as he is. As he is. Now watch this next thing. Watch how her faith meets with difficulties. And how her faith casts these difficulties aside. Every obstacle that's thrown in her path. And every trial that he brings her through. How she, her faith dealt with it. Now watch this. She said, in the right way, Lord, O Lord, Son of David, I'm asking for mercy. The next verse said, he answered her not a word. Did he not hear her? He heard her. Did he not pity her? He pitied her. Did he have not compassion on her? He had compassion on her. Did he despise her? Certainly not. What's he doing? Trying her faith. Faith must be tried. Too many people are speaking comfort too quickly to too many people. Too many folks are speaking comfort too quickly to too many people. This woman came to Christ legitimately. Lord, Son of David, have mercy upon me. And he never even replied. So the next verse says that he answered another, and his disciples, evidently she went outside to his disciples and tried to get them to help her. And they came in the house and they said, Lord, this woman's worrying us to death. She's crying after us. We can't help her. Send her away. Ask her to leave us alone. She's persistent. Men can't help us either, can they? And he said to his disciples, now watch this next. And I'm sure she's listening. She's there at the door. She's a persistent woman. She wants mercy. And he said to his disciples, he said, I am not sent, but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Here's covenant mercies. Here's discriminating grace. Our Lord does not hide nor conceal his sovereignty and salvation. I am not sent, but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And even in the face of that, watch this next verse. Then came she and worshipped him. She came to him, she worshipped him, and she cried, Lord, help me. Help me. She believes Christ to be the fountain of all mercies. Yeah, he said he was sent to Israel, but he's here. Yeah, he came to save the lost sheep of Israel, but he's here, and I'm here, and I need him, and he's the only one can help me. No one else can help me. But he turned to her and threw another obstacle in her path. Now watch this carefully. He threw another obstacle in her path. He said, it's not right. It's not right to take the children's food and give it to dogs. Now what our Lord is doing here is drawing a picture. Here's a family sitting around the table. Here's the father at the head of the table and the mother and the children. And here's the family of dogs. There's one over here and one over there. They're sitting there just watching the family. The mother's prepared the food, putting it on the table. Dogs are sitting there watching the family eat. And the father takes the meat, slices the meat, puts it on a plate, takes some potatoes, puts it on a plate, some beans, some corn, and a roll. And he puts it down for the dog. Christ said, that's not what you do. That's not the way to do it. You don't give the children's bread to the dogs, give it to the children. Now watch what she says. What he's doing is he's putting her in her place. And I'll tell you, this is such a traumatic experience when the Holy Spirit of God, through the Word of God, puts us in our place. In our place. Turn over, if you will, to Ephesians 2. Let me show you something here. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2. We all, because we've been brainwashed into this fatherhood of God and brotherhood of man, we have ourselves sitting at the table. We have ourselves already children of God, and we're not. We're children of wrath, even as others. And Ephesians 2, verse 11 says this. Remember in times past, Gentile, remember being in times past Gentile in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called a circumcision in the flesh made by hand. At that time you were without Christ, aliens, not even citizens, strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope, and without God in this world, really and truly dogs. Dogs. And here she's come to the Master. And the Master, trial after trial, he first didn't even answer. And then he told his disciples, says, I'm sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And then she said, Lord, help me. He said, it's not right to take the bread and the food for the children and put it down for the dogs to eat. And she said, that's true, Lord. That's absolutely true. You are the Lord, and I am the dog. That's true. And the bread is prepared for the children, yet The dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. In other words, the daddy sits here, and after the children have eaten, he'll take a chicken bone. They've eaten all the meat off the chicken, and he'll put it down to that old dog. And that old dog will be so glad to get it, just a bone. And here's a piece of cake that they didn't eat. And he takes it and puts it down for the dog. And the dog just wags his tail. He's so happy. That's his portion. He's glad to get that bone. He's glad to get that little old piece of cake. He's just thrilled with anything that the Master pleased to give. And that's what this woman's saying. I'll just be happy and pleased and delighted with anything off your plate, crumbs or whatever, or bone or whatever. See how different from these Pharisees, these men coming with their traditions and the defense of their customs and the way we do things, and I'm defiled by not washing my hands, my regulations and rules. And here comes a woman. Here comes a woman that's willing to take her place at his feet as a dog and be satisfied not with the best, but the leavings, just anything from his hand, any mercy, any grace. And our Lord answered and said, Oh, woman, great is thy faith. Faith that would not be denied. Faith that would receive the Word of God, whatever he said, however he said it, whatever he did, no matter how he did it, just, that's right, I don't deserve anything. I'm not worthy. I'm nothing. Be it unto thee as thy will. Be it unto thee as thy will. And from that moment, her daughter was made whole. Oh, for faith to trust him, to believe him, to love him. A real heart faith, a living faith.